Well, welcome to All Things Apostolic. We're glad that you're with us today. And this is ATA for November the 24th, Monday morning. And I'm not recording this some other time. I am recording this right now on November the 24th. So we're glad to be with you today. This is a great day. Great day. All things apostolic. Hey, I just looked somewhere. Somebody showed me. Somebody else has started using the name All Things Apostolic. Some other apostolic. And I'm so mad. Not really. I don't care. I'm glad people know a good name when they see it. And just don't sully it would be my only advice. But anyway, and if you're the one doing it and you're listening, well, welcome. We're glad that you're here. All Things Apostolic is kind of diverse. It was originally put together as news, views, information, and some teaching occasionally. And it's put together under the auspices of Wilson University, which itself is all part of an admitted master plan. What we do is not conspiracy. We don't hide it and act like we're doing something else. Our intent is very clearly to provide a level of apostolic effectiveness, of apostolic excellence, and of, and this one's probably the greatest because it is the mother of the other two, and apostolic revelation. One of the reasons I think that the apostolic movement is in many places dragging along, not experiencing great, exciting Holy Ghost revival locally. So we give to missions and we kind of make that the salve that keeps us from feeling too bad about not having revival locally. Well, I am supporting revival around the world, and that's a good thing, but that's not a substitute for at home, right in your city, right where you live. Where is your power to effect revival in your city? So personally, I believe you have that power. I don't believe it's a lack of power. I don't believe it's a lack of power within you. I believe that there's other areas that need to be ignited, which will make those moot issues. So All Things Apostolic is a keep in touch kind of podcast, and to advocate for what I've just said, to advocate not only for revival, but to advocate for a robust apostolicism that is theologically robust and is spiritually robust and is morally robust and is, in terms of sanctification and separation from the world, robust. And that is global and growing wildly and radically around the world. So we are actually seeing these things happening. And it's very exciting to see them happening. They're in our little DNA circle, they are still, as far as the whole world, they're still embryonic. But they're coming. That's our goal, admittedly, unashamedly, is to reach the world. And when we started, we had 9 people that voted us in as pastor here. 3 of them left in 2 weeks, lost 33% of our congregation in 14 days. And they needed a better pastor, I guess, so they left. So there was the original 6, and from there, it started. the world then was big, not as big as now in terms of population, but it was already big. And the goal then was no different than the goal now, but the potential for reaching the goal has changed dramatically. And it's going to continue to change. And we haven't compromised one iota over what we were 45 years ago when we started here. And we are excited about what's happening and believe it's going to continue. So from six in a little dirty building that was going into foreclosure, we've got to where we are because it's a revelatory ministry. It's not human ingenuity. It's a revelatory ministry. And one of the great discoveries we made is that revelation is transferable. Now, from that which it's being transferred from to that which it's being transferred to, there has to be a symbiotic relationship that's established on both of those people having undergone sufficient spiritual formation individually. Spiritual people. And a lot of things play into that that are not part of the scientific method. They can't be quantified that way, like hunger, like love, like devotion to the mission, like giving up anything that is of the world that is addictive, anything, because it detracts or it becomes temptation to detract from ultimate, complete, radical, fanatical devotion on helping the world to know the good news, the only eternal good news, and that's of Jesus Christ. So this is what we're doing. Somebody says, well, you'll never get there. Well, we'll see, but we're going to try it. I do know in the last 30 days, we've had over 2 million people watch the services. And at the recent youth conference Momentum, there was 1.4 million that have now watched parts of that. On a typical Sunday, there are thousands of people every Sunday who are watching and listening and hearing the message, people getting saved, people flying from other cities, not saints. I'm talking about sinners, people that don't know anything about Apostolic Pentecost, flying from other cities to come to church, just to come to church on a Sunday, because they're hungry and they're hearing truth. So what do we do here? You know, these are different times. And so we can have a knee-jerk reaction to that and try to find reasons why there's something wrong with 2 million people watching at least part of the services in the last 30 days. I think that's even less than 30 days, but I'm trying to make sure there's no exaggeration here. And we think that'll grow. We think that'll grow. So we're trying to be full of the Holy Ghost that when people tune in, they know. And of course, we've had people locally here that have come to church, people that are praying and seeking God, and all from reaching out. And all at the bottom of all that is not just all things apostolic, but the spiritual philosophy and theological revelatory stuff that God intends for his church to have are lying at the bottom of that. We're excited about it. And we want it to go on. This it's work all the time. Everybody that has a position of ministry, not just pulpit ministry, but ministry, is on the ragged edge of getting everything done constantly. It's been going his way for years because new doors open, and when we access those new doors, it creates a whole lot of new work to take care of that. And so this is, but it's, I mean, you know, the old saying, find what you love to do And if you do, when you're young, you'll never work a day of your life because you love it. And what feels like work is when you don't love what you're doing. And we love Jesus. There's kind of the bottom line. And we love what he loves. And we love his kingdom. We love his people. And he loves the whole world. Famous scripture there, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. So when you begin to reduce your vision to your town only, or you reduce it from the even the thought that we could globally impact literally the world, then you started limiting yourself. And so a lot of work goes on, and there's a constant training of people in leadership. One of the most exciting things we've learned that I often say is we have learned that revelation can be transferred. And like I was just saying a couple minutes ago, this is a really important revelation. I want to circle back to that, talk about that a little bit. This is an important revelation that revelation itself can be transferred. And there's a whole biblical theology of, that's a portion of the theology of leadership, which is what we teach in our grad cert program, grad leadership certificate program. The next session of courses, it lasts about 7-8 months. And right now it's 5 courses. As soon as we get the new master's degree going, which is next year, it'll be 4 courses. That's where it originally started as 4 courses, but it'll still be packed. It's not going to lose anything because the 4 courses will be more robust still. So that starts in January. If you're interested, if you're in ministry and you're kind of frustrated that you see other people having revival, and so you react to that in different ways. Some of us react by just denying it and not even thinking about any of it, and immersing ourselves in things that are common, that are not of ultimate concern, and of daily practices, and acting like that they carry more weight than they do of importance. Or like we shun, like we said earlier, and we find ways to diss everybody and say that could never happen, but it could. Well, it could never happen with me, but it could. So quit abdicating your sense of responsibility by saying, well, it couldn't happen to me, and just suck it up and say, God, I'm not where my potential is, but if you can help me, I want to reach there. And he can, and he will. If you're talking about the apostolic movement, I think 90% of it is far below their possibilities and far below their potential. It's not that they're dumb. It's not that they don't have what it takes to do it. They do have what it takes to do it. They're just not doing it. And they haven't been exposed to the satisfaction and the fulfillment that comes from knowing that even though you are far from perfect, you're still giving it your all, and you are seeing the power of God move in response to that. So this is what's behind All Things Apostolic. And on this particular Monday, we're going into Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is Thursday. And so we're thankful. We're thankful for everything that God's done. But being thankful doesn't mean that we're ready to lay down and say, look what God's done, and we still have years to live, and we still have ministry to do, and there's still people lost. And no, we're not going to do that. By the grace of God, we're not going to get complacent. We're going to continue to move forward and continue to reach out. New things are happening. We just found an empty church building in another town, and a town that had long, for many, many years, had an apostolic church, but it went haywire. So In fact, it doesn't even exist anymore. So this is the around us now. There are numerous towns that have churches that are affiliated with the Rock Church because we can't, you know, you just can't pack everybody in a building and the distances, and there's just logistical things from living in a world of finitude, finite restraints. And so these good things are happening. So we just had a great time Friday night and Saturday. It was the year in leadership get together. And I don't know, there's probably 100 people there maybe. And Brother Josh Slaughter and his wife from Mississippi came and ministered Friday night, and he told his story. What a great story. Great people. And then Saturday he taught there, and Pastor taught, and I taught, and we had a great time fellowship. Had a great breakfast. This was at a Friday night was at the church. Had a meal and good time, and then Saturday we had a brunch at a country club. And it was a great venue, and it was a great day. We ended at 2 o'clock and went our separate ways. Came back Sunday morning. Brother Slaughter taught. There was some real, real miracles that were done as of Sunday morning, and for which we are thankful. He was on point, and the Holy Ghost moved. And then Sunday night, the Holy Ghost came down. There was no preaching last night. There was, I think, Pastor said 5 or 6. They got the Holy Ghost. Some miraculous things happened. Some people come back to God from years ago. Just amazing things. Amazing things happened. So you know, all of that, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. So all of that we're thankful for. We're thankful for that God. I mean, if you can't find anything to be thankful for, you've got a problem. The fact you're breathing, the fact you've got the health that you've got, the fact that you still have a brain that works good enough to even enjoy or at least tolerate this podcast. All of this is things that we should be thankful for. We should be thankful for one another. And of course, thankful for the Holy Ghost. Thankful to know the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people that are sincere about serving Christ, that they're taught by people. This is a tragedy. I hate to be the teacher in judgment that taught people they can't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost just like they got it in the Bible, when there are millions of people, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people in the world that will tell you, yeah, I'm Pentecostal. They know about the Holy Ghost and have received it. So shame on you, preacher. If you're preaching you can't have the Holy Ghost, number one, it tells me you probably never got it or you wouldn't be doubting it. And number two, that means you don't know what you're talking about, because it doesn't come through the side of human that is rationality and logic. It comes through the side that is relational, intuitive, where love finds itself, where determination, where the will and all of that is located. You can't find that over there in the test tube in your lab where you're analyzing everything. You got to get over here in the relational department. So anyway, we're thankful for that. These are all things that we're thankful for. What are you thankful for? Have a good week.